From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. There are places in this country where basketball is not just a sport, but an all-consuming passion. In rural towns, inner cities, and for decades on Native American reservations. Res ball, as it's called, has long been a thread throughout Indian country.
Yet very few Native players have made it into men's major college basketball, and there's never been an Indian player in the NBA. Now some are trying to change that. NPR's Tom Goldman has this story about a unique basketball tournament in Phoenix last month and the young ball players the event was trying to reach.
My name's Kyle Phillips from Monument Valley High School. I just graduated class of 2003. All right.
It's hard to take the kid out of 18-year-old Kyle Phillips, the 6'2" star basketball player for Arizona's Monument Valley High. Always seems to end sentences with a laugh or a smile, revealing a mouth full of braces. But on a recent evening at his home in Kayenta, a tiny Navajo reservation town in northeast Arizona, Kyle Phillips suddenly faced a very adult decision.
Hello? This is him. Pretty good.
On the other end of the line, someone from Setanka University in South Dakota wanted to know if Kyle Phillips was going to accept a basketball scholarship offered a few days earlier, a scholarship that would pay for books, tuition, room and board, everything. A few hours before the phone rang, Kyle still was undecided.
I'm like 75%, I'll go.
Tell me about the 25%. What's keeping you from committing?
Leaving home. Reservation. That's the main thing for me.
In the tight-knit, protective world of the Navajo Reservation, decisions rarely are made in a vacuum. Indeed, others in Kayenta were waiting, watching, hoping, as Kyle Phillips weighed his options. There was Richard Beverly, Kyle's high school coach, who struggled to find basketball opportunities for Kyle after graduation.
Doors only open once in a while. You wanted this, you worked hard for it. You know, your dad already said that, you know, coach, this is one opportunity to go to college. He needs a scholarship to play ball.
There was Clayton Ed, Kyle's friend and longtime teammate at Monument Valley High. Years of practicing and competing together turned the two of them into skilled players, seemingly ready for the next level. Now Clayton was having a hard time watching his friend hesitate.
They want to give him a full ride. They want him to play and ask him, are you going to take it? And he's like, nah, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Why not, man? I mean, they're playing for everything. All you gotta do is go play. That's all you gotta do.
It sounds easy, but for top-notch Native ball players, moving beyond high school has been anything but simple. Many have broken down along the path to basketball success, some not getting off the reservation, others making it to college, but then dropping out and coming home to live lives less fulfilled. A long, often sad legacy, and now Kyle Phillips was on the phone. With a choice. At that moment, you wondered how much had he gotten from three dazzling days in Phoenix the week before. With the NBA on NBC theme music blaring from the PA system, the America West Arena in Phoenix became the glitzy home of reservation basketball for one weekend last month. The first ever Native American Basketball Invitational, or NABBY, turned res ball into Cinderella at the ball. 24 boys and girls Native teams from around the U.S. and Canada played on a shiny NBA court. They wore new uniforms provided by Nike. They stayed at a 24-floor luxury hotel.
This kind of exposure is tremendous.
Ernie Stevens is chairman of the National Indian Gaming Association based in Washington, D.C.
For them to think that if I conduct myself in a good way and work hard at everything I do, I can play in an arena like this, I can play overseas, I can play in the big city.
Ernie Stevens was one of the prominent Native Americans tournament organizers brought to Phoenix to deliver inspirational pep talks between basketball games.
You're going to be reasonable and responsible. You're going to help your elders. You're going to maintain your culture and defend your sovereignty. Your peers are going to follow you guys. So you guys are the leaders today. Thank you. Yamago.
The big picture at NABBY was building successful people. The immediate goal was helping high school players focus on potential basketball careers in college and beyond. Tournament sponsors Nike and the NBA's Phoenix Suns offered valuable connections. The people representing Nike and the Suns handed out business cards left and right, saying to Indian players and coaches, "Call me, I can help." If Tex Hall had that kind of support 20 years ago, he might have been the breakthrough Native American in the NBA. Hall is the president of the National Congress of American Indians. Back in the 1980s, he was a hotshot ball player who earned a tryout with the Denver Nuggets.
Did real well in a tryout, but I was a reservation boy with no agent to say, hey, you know, Tex scored 25 points, 30 points, and why is he going home? And they said, thanks and see you later.
For many Indian players at the college level, there's been a history of missed opportunities as well. Players have quit, overwhelmed by going away to school. Frank King, publisher of the Native Voice newspaper, says many college students suffer culture shock leaving the insular world of the reservation and coming back where they encounter angry friends at home.
First thing they say is, what are you trying to be, a white man? What are you trying to do, live like a white person? It's the ultimate insult to you and your family. So I think a lot of these kids take that to heart. When they hear it coming from their peers, man, they're like, they start to fail. They start to sabotage what they're trying to do with their life.
When Indian basketball players have quit college before graduation, they've unwittingly harmed generations who came after. Today's reservation high school stars may be good, but some college coaches are reluctant to recruit those Native players because of the past. Shane Warwick is the head men's basketball coach at Setanka University in Huron, South Dakota.
You know, you understand their situation, if they've been burned a few times and you know, they just probably don't want to go on the line and offer that large of a scholarship to where there may be a question mark whether, you know, that student-athlete will be around, you know.
Warwick was one of only three college coaches who showed up at the tournament looking for prospects. Sitting courtside for most of the weekend, he saw several players who looked ready for the college game. Two from Oklahoma, 6'7" Anthony Brown, a great athlete and great leaper, and guard Mike Garrow, a Sioux Lakota Indian who rarely smiles and almost never makes a mistake on the court. Then there was the player from Arizona Warwick decided he would try to sign, the Navajo teenager with an easy smile and a deadly outside jump shot.
Kyle Phillips.
Thanks in large part to Kyle Phillips, the Monument Valley Mustangs finished second at NABBY. Kyle was named to the all-tournament team, and he got the biggest prize in the minds of NABBY organizers, the scholarship offer from Coach Warwick. Back in Kayenta, a couple of days after the NABBY tournament, Kyle's friend Clayton Ed fires up his recent graduation present, a burnt orange Chevy Camaro Z28. Driving through the trailer court where he lives, Clayton finally stops at a ragged-looking basketball court. This is where he and Kyle Phillips spent much of their childhood.
See all the weeds sticking out of all the cracks? And yeah, that rim's actually like 10 and a half feet. This one's about 10.
And so were these cracks here when you were growing up?
Yeah, they were here. I thought there was a lot more than this because when I used to dribble, the ball used to go every which way except up, you know?
Kyle remembers the sloping, uneven concrete as a place where a friendship and a basketball partnership were forged.
Clayton and I would just play in the snow, play in the rain. I mean, all the time we'd be out there, we'd be playing, just shooting, dribbling. Now that's how we got to know each other a lot more.
The boys shared a love for Michael Jordan, who fueled their passion for basketball from afar. In Kayenta, they both had the same local hero, Navajo player Bobby Manheimer, a Monument Valley High School graduate who made it to college basketball's biggest stage.
Manheimer, he hit one in the first half, and the second one. He is a legend. The Navajo plantation.
Navajos still talk about that day in the spring of 2000 when Bobby Manheimer was part of March Madness, hitting his long-range jump shots on CBS television in prime time. He played for Lamar University in Texas, and in the first round of that year's men's NCAA basketball tournament, Lamar played number one ranked Duke in front of a national TV audience. A school official says after the game, which Lamar lost, Manheimer got autographs from the Duke players. Then, not long after, Bobby Manheimer left school and came home.
Go play in the room. Go play in the room.
Bobby and his wife left Lamar after she became pregnant with their son Trey. Despite the basketball excitement, Texas was a strain, a place where Manheimer and his wife felt completely isolated. No Navajo language, no traditional Navajo food, no extended family. He remembers the time they were in a Burger King drive-thru when they noticed a car full of Native Americans from Arizona in front of them. Their cultural hunger was greater than their desire for food because they sped out of line and followed the car across town until they all stopped and spoke Navajo with each other. Now, with two kids, Manheimer does contracting work at a coal mine near Kayenta. He only has one semester left before graduation and a year of basketball eligibility remaining.
I want to go back. I got 1 year left, and all these people are saying, when are you going to go back? When are you going to go back? And it's just kind of hard, and we just got into a situation where we got bills left and right now, and it's just kind of hard, you know, trying to raise these kids up.
6 or 7 years ago, Bobby Manheimer was like Clayton Edd and Kyle Phillips, on the cusp, ready to go. His family had raised him to grasp opportunities, which he did for a while. Clayton is hoping to earn a spot on the team at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff. He says he'll keep pushing until he realizes his dream of playing Division I college basketball. And once he makes it, he says, he'll stay. Clayton says Nabby made him believe there are more people out there to help him on his way. Kyle, of course, had that decision to make on the telephone. After several minutes talking to the official from Setonka University, he hung up,
okay,
smiling.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. That's it. Said campus visit's okay. So bring mom and dad, and I'm set. From there, I'll be going to South Dakota, getting out of K-Town.
It was dusk in Kayenta. Kyle Phillips nodded toward the window. You could see houses, the high school, the red sandstone rock formations in the distance. None of those wicked, blinding sandstorms tonight, he said, the ones that sweep into town with little warning.
You just look out into the distance, you'll see a wall, brown wall, and you're coming, coming to wash, blow everything away, so you're lucky you came on a good day.
A clear day, a hopeful day. Basketball practice at Setonka University begins in early October. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
We'll have some more hoops tomorrow on the program with the story of the Rucker Tournament, a legend in Harlem for nearly 50 years.